That was beautiful tonight. It's great to hear you all singing, worshiping the Lord. We are going to consider Jeremiah chapter 1 this evening. So turn to Jeremiah chapter 1, page 864. If you're using that Bible under the seat in front of you. Two weeks from tonight, we're having our graduation celebration. You know, a lot of people are graduating from high school and college this time of the year, and they get acknowledged by their schools, and they get acknowledged by their family. I think they should also get acknowledged by their church. And so we spend a Wednesday night acknowledging all those who are graduating. 2 weeks from tonight, we'll give them a little gift. We'll have a little meal together. After the service, if you have a graduate in your family, high school or college, sign them up. There's a list at the information booth. Also, in a few weeks, on Sunday, June 10th, we're going to be having a water baptism. So if you have not been baptized in water as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have an opportunity to do that coming up. And again, we need you to sign up for that in the at the lobby. There's a little place and a little application for you to pick up. So if that's you. We are in the Old Testament prophetic section in the Old Testament, and we're in the major prophets of the prophetic section of the Old Testament. We've considered Isaiah, and then tonight we're going to look at Jeremiah. Let's say a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the role models that we find in your word. Men and women who have gone before us. We marvel at their faith, at their courage, at their consistency. Lord, how they touched the generation in which they lived. Lord, inspire us tonight. To be like them in this generation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Jeremiah was a bullfrog. No, I'm just kidding. Jeremiah was a man, a normal man like normal men, and God called him to be a prophet. And I think he's one of the most courageous prophets that we find in the Old Testament. He's certainly a big-time hero of mine, and I'll share why I say that tonight as we go through the study. Tonight we're going to look at Jeremiah the man, the prophet that he was. And here in chapter 1, we sort of have his bio. There's a lot of information that we find out about Jeremiah, the man, in our text. Look at the first three verses with me. It says, "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month." Now, we find out a lot of information about Jeremiah just from those three verses. First, we find out that he was a country boy. He was a small town boy. He grew up in this place called Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Very small village out in the middle of nowhere, just a few miles north of the city of Jerusalem. So Jeremiah was a country boy. He grew up in a very simple way. But we also know that Jeremiah loved the city. He loved Jerusalem. He loved the temple in Jerusalem. From his village, though it was small, it was only a few miles away from Jerusalem, and in the distance, he grew up looking at the city of Jerusalem, the walls around Jerusalem, the magnificent temple of Solomon built there in Jerusalem. And you'll see that he has this passion for that city, for that temple. We also learn here that Jeremiah was a preacher's kid, or more accurately, a priest's kid. Verse 1 says that he was the son of whom? Hilkiah of the priests. So his dad served in the temple in Jerusalem in the priesthood with other priests. Now you should know that the expectation then was for Jeremiah to also serve as a priest when he grew up. That was in the family line. He should have been a priest, but God will intervene. He will not become a priest. Instead, God will make him a prophet. And by the way, he will take a lot of heat from his family for that. The expectation, everyone else was a priest, you need to be a priest. But God called him a different direction, to be a prophet. Now, these verses tell us that Jeremiah had an extremely long career as a prophet. I want you to notice that three kings are mentioned in the text. In verse 2, he was a prophet during the days of Josiah. Verse 3, during the days of Jehoiakim. And also in verse 3, during the days of Zedekiah. Three kings. Now, if you can see it on the chart, here's when Jeremiah lived and prophesied. Here's King Josiah, then Jehoiakim, then Zedekiah. And there were actually two other kings that also reigned, but they only reigned for 3 months apiece. So you can't really call them kings. And Jeremiah had very limited interaction with them. All that to say that Jeremiah ministered as a prophet for 45 years. A long career of faithful service. Now we also know that Jeremiah was called to serve as a prophet in the darkest years of the kingdom of Judah. The closing years of the kingdom of Judah. Those kings that he served under are the last five kings in the kingdom of Judah. And only Josiah was a decent king. He was a good king. All these other guys were evil and wicked. So he lived in a time where he was watching his kingdom get worse and worse and worse and worse. More idolatrous, more blasphemous, more wicked. And he is a prophet who actually saw the destruction of Jerusalem, the complete annihilation of the southern kingdom of Judah. Jeremiah was an eyewitness to the invasion of Jerusalem by the Babylonians under King Nebuchadnezzar. He witnessed them surround the city of Jerusalem. He witnessed them break through, eventually, the city walls. He witnessed the complete and total destruction of the city, of the temple. He witnessed the slaughter of his brethren in Jerusalem, and he witnessed the taking of captivity of most all of the remaining Jewish males that survived the attack, all taken captive to Babylon. He saw all of that, and he lived and prophesied during that very, very dark period in history. Now, I want you to see something else. Here's another little chart. Here's the southern kingdom of Judah. Here's when they went into captivity. Last time together, we studied Isaiah the prophet. Notice he's back here in time. When Isaiah was prophesying, it was still 150 years away before that date. And when Isaiah was prophesying, the southern kingdom of Judah had opportunity to repent. Isaiah was saying, hey, this invasion, this day of judgment is coming, but you still have time to repent, southern kingdom of Judah. But they never did. When Jeremiah, down here, starts his ministry, judgment is inevitable. Judgment is coming. And Jeremiah's message was one of an inevitable judgment that is coming. His prophecy, his message was, you all need to prepare for judgment. Judgment can no longer be avoided. Prepare for it. And what Jeremiah would preach is, there's some things you can do as a nation to make the judgment less hurtful. It's coming, but there's some things that you could do to make it easier to get through. And of course, his messages fell on deaf ears. Nobody responded to Isaiah. Nobody responded to Jeremiah. And so that horrific judgment would come. You know, it would sort of be like, what if the Lord told you that the United States of America was going to fall in 40 years? And you knew that. You had that judgment. You knew it was going to take place in 40 years. And you're running all over the place telling people about it, trying to get, but nobody listens. And then when it falls and you see it, the horror of that. That's what Jeremiah the prophet faced. Now, the 45 years of ministry for Jeremiah the prophet were years of suffering, tears, heartache, trials, tribulation. You know, the name Jeremiah in Hebrew means Yahweh throws. And it was literally God threw this man into a cauldron of pain and suffering for 45 years. And Jeremiah had this kind of personality. He had this kind of demeanor about him that made it very challenging for what God had called him to do. Jeremiah was called to serve as a prophet as a very young man in his early 20s. Some even believe he was called to be a prophet as a teenager. Can you imagine a teenager being called to be a prophet? What a responsibility. And we know that in his initial years, he was naive, he was innocent, he was very timid, and he could be intimidated easily. And so he had that kind of personality, and he had to grow out of that kind of personality. We also know that Jeremiah the prophet was extremely sensitive. He had a very, very tender heart. In fact, we would all call Jeremiah a crier. You ever met a crier? Jeremiah was a crier. He wept. In fact, he is known in Scripture as the weeping prophet. He's also known in Scripture as the prophet with a broken Tradition says that he began wailing the moment he was born and didn't stop wailing until the day he died. I have up on the screen a famous painting. This is how Michelangelo portrays Jeremiah the prophet in the Sistine Chapel. And I think it's a beautiful, beautiful portrayal. I zoom in just a little. He's presented in a posture of despair. He looks like a man who has wept so long he has no tears left to shed. His face is turned to one side like a man who has been battered by many blows. His shoulders are hunched forward, weighed down by the sins of Judah. His eyes also are cast down, as if he can no longer bear to see God's people suffer. His hand covers his mouth. Perhaps he has nothing left to say. Perfect portrayal. The weeping prophet. This is a man who wept over the sin of his nation. This is a man who wept over the destruction of the temple and of the city of Jerusalem, which he loved. This is a man who wept over the great suffering that his people would experience. This is a man who wept over their hard heads. A nation in sin that refused to turn, that refused to listen. The man of sorrows. You know, Jesus was a lot like Jeremiah in that respect. Did you know that? In fact, you remember in Matthew 16, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And some of them said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah," or one of the prophets. A lot of them thought it was Jeremiah. He's just like Jeremiah. Jesus grew up in an obscure village. Jesus was very tender-hearted and very sensitive. And like Jeremiah wept over Jerusalem, so Jesus, as he saw Jerusalem for the final time before his crucifixion, wept and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you like a hen gathers a young, but you were not willing." Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, also the lonely prophet. 45 years this man served as a prophet alone. Did you know that Jeremiah never married? He never got a wife, and he never had children. And in fact, the Lord forbid him from getting married and having children. In Jeremiah 16, verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, 'You shall not take a wife, nor shall you have sons or daughters in this place.'" In the capacity of his service as a prophet, God said, "You will not marry." Now, why would God command him not to marry or to have children? Well, that passage goes on to say, "For thus says the Lord concerning the sons and daughters who are born in this place, and concerning their mothers who bore them and their fathers who begot them in this land. They shall die gruesome deaths. They shall not be lamented, nor shall they be buried, but they shall be like a refuse on the face of the earth. They shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their corpses shall be meat for the birds of heaven and for the beasts of the earth." Jeremiah, don't get married, don't have children, because judgment is coming to this land. And you will lose them horrifically. Many women, wives, and children would be brutally massacred. by Nebuchadnezzar when the Babylonians come. So no family, no wife, no kids. Jeremiah was abandoned by friends. He was unpopular. Jeremiah was eventually completely abandoned by his family, his priest dad, mom, brothers, sisters. Jeremiah was treated horrifically by the kings, by the political rulers, by the priests, by the spiritual leaders, and by all of the other prophets that were running around during that time. In that time, there were many other prophets, and they were false prophets. And these false prophets were running around telling everybody what they wanted to hear. They were saying to everyone, hey, don't worry, everything's cool. No problem, no judgment, no doom and gloom. It's all great. Only Jeremiah was speaking this message of doom and gloom and judgment and be prepared. So who do you think was most popular? He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was an outcast. 45 years alone. In fact, he only had one friend. One friend during his entire ministry, a man by the name of Baruch. Baruch is mentioned several times in the book of Jeremiah. This guy was his friend, and this guy was the scribe who wrote down the messages of Jeremiah. If it wasn't for Baruch, we wouldn't have the book of Jeremiah. One faithful friend. Lonely. Also, check this out. 45 years of laboring, 45 years of ministry, not one convert, not one convert for 45 years. No one that we read of or know about turned to the Lord under Jeremiah's ministry. It was one of complete and utter rejection. Many of us would look upon the ministry of Jeremiah the prophet and declare failure. So yeah, I think that is a beautiful picture that portrays a lonely, suffering, frustrated man. And then at the end of his life, after the Babylonians come, he will go down south to Egypt with a small remnant of Jews, and that remnant of Jews will kill him as a martyr. What a ministry. What a life. How did he last? How did he last through that? Well, I'll tell you how he was able to remain. He knew that he was called by God. He knew that God had appointed him as a prophet. In fact, the calling of Jeremiah is here in this chapter. Look at verse 4. It says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, look, I love this. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Notice that Jeremiah did not experience this dramatic call. Remember, Isaiah got to see a vision. Ezekiel got to see a vision. Paul the apostle was struck on the road to Damascus, right? Very dramatic. Many had very dramatic calls. Not Jeremiah, just a real quiet call. It says the word of the Lord just came to him. But it was unmistakable in his mind, and he knew that he was called to be a prophet. In fact, the Lord says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nation. It's your destiny. It's why you were born. And he knew that. He felt that. And that's how I believe he was able to go on. When you know what God has called you to do, you should obey him and hold on to that calling and move forward. By the way, do you think verse 5 is an important verse to the abortion debate in our country? When does life begin? At conception. I might even argue before. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Man, as Christians, every single one of us should be as pro-life can be. That life that's in the womb with so much potential. I shudder to think at the judgment that this nation deserves over all the loss of human life. Well, Jeremiah was called, and he was a little reluctant. Look at verse 6. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a youth. I'm a teenager, God. I can't speak. I'm not gifted. I can't do this. Reluctance. And by the way, I think there's a good sense and a bad sense, and I would say that the good sense overrides the bad sense. This is bad in the sense that he's sort of arguing with God. You should never argue with God, right? Your answer should always be yes. But in a good sense, do you see his humility? Do you see a humbleness there? It's like, who am I, God? Did you call the right number? I'm just this kid. I got nothing. I can't talk. I can't speak. That's humility. God can use people like that. In fact, if you look throughout the scripture and if you look throughout church history, the men and women that God uses mightily are the men and women who feel the most unworthy to be used. They are the very men and women that go, who, me? You want to use me? We should always be humble before the Lord. We should never have this attitude with the Lord like, hey, it's about time, God, you recognize my talent. And waiting, I'm your guy. Utter humility and dependence upon God is a requirement for God to use you. So Jeremiah is reluctant, but look what the Lord says to him. Verse 7, but the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. Jeremiah, I have dialed the right number. I have called you to be a prophet. And I am going to use you. And I am going to put my words in your mouth. And there is nothing that you need to be afraid of. You know, it's been well said many, many times. God does not call the qualified. God always qualifies the called. Amen. The calling of God is his enablement. Amen. If God has called you to something and you feel very hesitant, well, I can't. But if he's called you, he will enable you. And he would enable Jeremiah. Now, I've always loved verse 8 as a preacher. He says to Jeremiah, do not be afraid of their faces. Now, Jeremiah is going to be speaking to a lot of different crowds, and he's going to see a lot of angry faces. And God says, don't be afraid of their faces. Over the years, I've spoken to crowds, and I've seen a lot of different kinds of faces at church. Some of your faces. I've seen excited faces, people that are tracking. I've seen bored faces. I've seen sleepy faces. And I keep track of it by the way. No, I'm kidding, I don't. And there have been times, I mean, I look out on a crowd and I see an angry face or a skeptical face. Someone who looks reasonable. And I got to tell you, early on, that really freaked me out. Who knows what they're angry about? They might just be angry about something they're thinking about. But when you're speaking to a group, oftentimes you project how faces look. And you project that to yourself. It was early on in the ministry when I was studying Jeremiah that the Lord gave me this verse. Do not be afraid of their faces. And I've forgotten about it ever since. Just preach the word, forget about the faces. And that's what Jeremiah did. Now, he's called to be a prophet. What does a prophet do? Prophet is a spokesman or a spokeswoman for God. So for 45 years, Jeremiah is going to be a spokesperson for God to that last generation. Look at verse 10. This is a verse that summarizes up completely what his messages would be. God still speaking to Jeremiah, verse 10. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to what? Throw down and to build and to plant. That verse summarizes the entire book of Jeremiah. There were two types of messages that Jeremiah was commanded to bring to his people. Messages of destruction, and then messages of construction. But first of all, and by far way more than the messages of construction, Jeremiah was called to bring messages that were intended to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down. Jeremiah has been called the book of judgment. I mean, basically for 52 chapters, a whole lot of judgment. Jeremiah speaks words of judgment to the nation, to the priests, to the false prophets, to the kings, to the different people. He uses oracles, he uses sermons, he uses illustrations, all of these different ways to preach judgment to people. He also preaches messages of judgment to other nations surrounding Jerusalem. So most all of it is these messages that are really, really hard, which conflicts with his sensitive personality. Can you see how that would be so hard for Jeremiah? this sensitive guy who God has called, I'm sending you out to root down, to throw down, to root out. And so many different messages of judgment recorded in the 52 chapters. But then he was also called to preach messages of construction. The end of verse 10 says, to build and to what? To plant. So Jeremiah was also sent occasionally to give these encouraging messages of restoration, to build back up. In fact, there's a section in the middle of Jeremiah, chapters 30 through 33, which is called the Book of Consolation. And we get wonderful, wonderful messages of comfort from Jeremiah. But by far, most of it are these very, very hard sermons. By the way, when we preach the gospel message, both of those things should be happening. Did you know that the gospel message is both a message of destruction and a message of construction? Did you know that? The gospel message is good news, but you can't understand the good news unless you get the bad news first. And the bad news part of the gospel is this: all have sinned and fallen short from the glory of God. Now, there's a lot of people on this planet that don't think they're sinners. They think they're pretty good and they're pretty confident in their own self-righteousness. So when you preach the gospel to someone like that, you have to destroy them. You have to destroy their sense of self-righteousness. Their sense of, oh, I'm okay, I'm just fine. And so it's very important when you preach the gospel that you preach that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all wretches before a holy God. You tear down. And then after they get that, you plant. You build up. You tell them about how Jesus died on the cross for their sins and rose again that third day. And how if you place your faith in him, all of your sins are forgiven. See, people will not receive a Savior until they realize their need of a Savior. And people recognize their need of a Savior when they're told, point blank, you're a sinner. You are imperfect. All that pride, all that arrogance, all of that self-righteousness has to be rooted out. In fact, if you're here tonight and you don't think you need God, and you're kind of arrogant about that, well, then God needs to destroy you. And he will. He'll humble you. He'll tear down all that self-dependence. He'll put you right on your back. By the way, that's a great place to be, because when you're on your back, you have no place to look but where? But up. So this is the kind of messages that Jeremiah would be bringing. Now, I want to give you a taste, just a taste of his messages, the visions that he would give. Look at verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. The almond tree. He saw an almond tree, and the idea is that it was budding. The almond tree is the first tree that buds in the spring. So when you see the almond tree budding, spring has arrived. Spring is not going to be here in a few days. It's here. It's arrived. And God says to Jeremiah, my word has arrived. I am now going to perform my word. And of course, his word is judgment. Jeremiah, you're to go out and tell people to prepare for judgment. Look at verse 13. And the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, "What do you see?" And I said, "I see a boiling pot, and it's facing away from the north." So, sort of picture this in your mind. Jeremiah has this vision of this large pot on the northern horizon, and it's filled with boiling water. Have you ever been to one of those water parks where the water's collecting in the bucket? You ever been there? And the water's spraying all over the place, but there's this giant bucket at the top, and it's slowly but surely being filled up. And all the kids wait underneath. And eventually, when it fills up, what happens? Oh, and you just get drenched with this water. Imagine one of those filled with boiling water. This is what Jeremiah sees. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see a boiling pot that's tipping over from the north with boiling water. Verse 14, then the Lord said to me, out of the north, calamity shall break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord. They shall come and each one set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls all around and against all the cities of Judah. I will utter my judgments against them concerning all their wickedness, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worship the works of their own hands. Their God explains it. I'm bringing an enemy from the north. Babylon was from the north. The judgment is coming. Jeremiah, this is the message I've given you. Go out and share with the people. Bless them with that wonderful news, right? Encouragement to Jeremiah, verse 17. Therefore, prepare yourself and arise. You speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. For behold, Jeremiah, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Jeremiah, I've called you. You're going to be a prophet. I've given you a strong message. It's going to be tough. People are going to be fighting you all the way. But I'm going to be with you. You stay strong. You stay fortified. You go for it. Man up. Stay the course. And Jeremiah did. And that's why he's one of my heroes. Think about that. You know, gang, listen. Ministry's easy when things are happening. Isn't it? Ministry's easy when you see growth and you see exciting things happening and you see God move. Anybody will stay in ministry when that's happening. But what about the ministry that God has called you to that seems to go stale, that doesn't grow, where you experience all kinds of issues? Oh, a lot of Christians quit. Too hard. Do you think Jeremiah the prophet ever wanted to quit? Yes, he did. In fact, we know he wanted to quit. And in fact, we know he almost did quit. In Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, this is when he's going through some very serious stuff. It says, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. That's a quitter. I'm done. I'm not going to make mention of him. I'm not going to speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a what? A burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. That's why he's my hero. You know, it's been said that Jeremiah the prophet lived his entire life between two fires. The fire that he faced from the world and the incredible opposition that he would come up against. And then the fire that was inside him. His calling. God's burning word in his heart. And that fire within won out. Jeremiah stayed true. And you know what? I think Jeremiah had some great rewards in heaven, don't you? Obedient to the Lord to the very end. I find application from this man's life. I really do believe that as the church living in the days in which we live, I believe we live in very dark days. You know, I sort of joked, what if you knew if the United States would fall in 40 years? We could be close. And we know that the scripture teaches that God's judgment is coming. There is a boiling pot that will turn over. And God's judgment is coming upon this world. And God, listen, has thrown us into this generation, right into this culture, right into this society. And it's dark. The world comes against the church, doesn't it? Look how morality is attacked in our culture. Look at the attack on the family. I mean, if you're one who adheres to a marriage being between a man and a woman for a lifetime, you're thought of as the loser. All of the garbage in government, all of the ways God is pushed out of every sector of our society. And you know what I hate? I hate that as Christians we feel like we have to walk on eggshells. Don't you feel that way sometimes? You have to walk on eggshells where you walk, where you work, where you go to school. Don't have to say anything. And yet the gay agenda doesn't have to walk on eggshells. And nor do the Islamists. In fact, we have to walk on eggshells around them. It's all backwards. And then as I look around our culture, especially in our country, I see a lot of false prophets. I see a lot of false prophets out there telling Christians what they want to hear. Don't worry. Come to church, get rich. You deserve to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. You don't deserve to have any tears or any pain in your life. Hey, you're one of God's children. Pain-free life. Come to Jesus and you'll get a maintenance-free life. Is that right? Many churches don't talk about the blood of Christ. They don't talk about sin. You know what? There's a bunch of puff cakes. Spiritual superficialness. Many false prophets. And I'm telling you. It is getting more and more difficult with every passing year to be a truly biblical, committed Christian. Yeah, I look around our society and there's a lot to weep about. We need to be like Jeremiah. Don't let up. Don't stand back. Share your truth. Share your truth in love. You know, I know some of you, and I know a lot of Christians lately. I've talked to a lot of Christians lately who have been very discouraged. These are Christians who have been serving the Lord for a long time, involved in ministry, and there's a lot. They get very, very discouraged, and they look, Ronnie, I'm serving the Lord, and it's getting harder, and all of these trials, and all of this pain, and all of these tears. I want to quit. You can't quit. God's word burns in your heart. You can't keep it. Stay faithful to God. Your rewards are in heaven. And I think there are many yet to be saved, don't you? And God wants to use your life. But you got to stand firm. Let's ask God's blessing. Let's ask God's help for that. Lord, we thank you for a tender warrior like Jeremiah. We marvel at his tenacity, his obedience, his witness. Letting his light shine while the whole world is dark. Lord, this world is very dark right now, and you've told us to shine our lights. And I pray, Lord, that we would do that faithfully, that we would serve you faithfully to our dying breath. Lord, teach us how to bring the tough messages and the comforting messages. Lord, I pray for that person here tonight who is just really hurting right now and really struggling, going through a tough time as a Christian. Lift them up. Hold them up. Breathe new life into them. Lord, remind us every day how worth it it is to follow you. May your spirit and your word burn in our hearts. Father, I want to also pray for anyone here tonight who perhaps has never responded to the gospel message. Maybe you came here tonight and the Lord is calling you to salvation tonight, this very night. You have never yet admitted to God that you're a sinner and that you need to be saved. Have you ever done that? Oh, how God loves us. He sent his Son who took our sins upon himself. He died in our place, rose again, and he's alive. And the scripture says you have to bow to him. You have to humble yourself before him. You have to ask him to be your Savior. And if you do that, your sins are forgiven. They're washed away. You become a child in his family. Have you done that? I'd like you to do that right now. Don't push it off. With a humble heart, just say to the Lord this. Just say, Lord, I invite you to be my Savior. Wash away all my sins. I humble myself before you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Make me a child in your family. Fill me with your spirit. make known your call upon my life and what you want me to do for you, and help me to faithfully do that as a witness for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's sing a closing song. Let's all stand together. Maybe you prayed to receive Christ tonight. I'm going to be right up here in the front. And if that's you, I'd like to meet with you. You just come forward and say, Terry, I prayed that prayer. We'll have others up here who will be able to pray with you and for you concerning any issues you might be having in your life. Let's close with this song.